very much for being here, and I want to thank Jane and Michael for inviting me. I guess you can already see from the first two presentations why the National Health Interview Survey is considered the United States' premier population health survey. So what I want to do here today, my objective is to demonstrate how NCI has worked with NCHS in order to further cancer control research. So we have worked with the National Health Interview Survey to monitor trends and patterns, answer some key research questions, and provoke additional scientific inquiry. The three main topics of surveillance that we have focused on in cancer control is tobacco, cancer screening, and diet and physical activity. As Jane mentioned, pertaining to the data generally on the National Health Interview Survey, the cancer control data has also evolved over time to meet scientific program and policy needs of the nation. Some examples are we initiated cigarette monitoring in response to the Surgeon General's report. That was in 1965, and for that reason we talk about a 40-year collaboration. No one at either of our institutes has institutional memory quite that long, but we figure that's a pretty reasonable estimate. In response to a congressional mandate to understand patterns and trends in incidence, survival, and mortality that were being collected by the SEER data, Surveillance, Epidemiology, and End Results at NCI, we initiated cancer control supplements regularly in the National Health Interview Survey. And we looked at a lot of different possibilities, and it was pretty clear that the National Health Interview Survey was our best option. The healthy people objectives, most of them are monitored using the National Health Interview Survey, and NCI collaborates with CDC to help monitor those and make sure that the proper items are on the NHIS to be able to do that. And then finally, in preparation for fielding the 2000 NHIS and the cancer control supplement on that, we established a long-term agreement in order to promote sufficient sample size. And this is an ongoing discussion with the NHIS because sample size is so important, and it's unfortunately the thing that gets cut when the budget is reduced. So it's really important to maintain that and to keep people aware of the importance of this resource. It really is a national treasure. So tobacco control was first. The National Health Interview Survey is a major source of national tobacco control monitoring, and I don't personally work in this area, but I talked to a number of experts who do, and they said that the main reason that NHIS is so important is its longevity. And now it routinely monitors cigarette smoking, and then at different times NCI has sponsored questions on cigars, snuff, chewing tobacco, BDs, and tobacco control policy. So there's a whole range of things in addition to cigarette smoking that can be asked about on NHIS. And then there are over 100 publications on tobacco control alone using the National Health Interview data. This table shows cigarette smoking trends among adults by race and ethnicity between 1978 and 2004. And you can see there's, for most of the racial ethnic groups, there's a gradient, a decline in smoking rates. Jane showed a similar table, but it didn't go back quite as far. But the other thing this shows is that American Indians really haven't declined as much as the other groups. So this trend data actually reveals a health disparity. This graph on tobacco control shows a percent of smokers who have ever quit for adults 18 and older. And you can see that men initially were more likely to quit than women. But by 2003, both men and women were both quitting smoking at about the same rate, about 50%. One of the reasons that NCI wanted to use the NHIS is its large sample size and the range of covariates. This is what makes it such a fabulous vehicle when you put questions on it, because there's already such a rich environment for your questions. And then Jane had already mentioned the oversampling of African Americans, Latinos, and Asians, and in fact there's a web link on that. And I forgot to mention there's a web link on the tobacco control data as well, so that if you want to use these data and you're really not familiar with it, there's often a very helpful web link right on the NCHS website that will help introduce you to these data, tell you what they've measured and when they've measured it. And then, of course, there's covariates on the demographic, socioeconomic, insurance, and these other things that both Amy and Jane have already mentioned. One of the things that NCI did was to add some questions on acculturation. And this survey looked at acculturation. It just used language. And low acculturation was defined as respondents who reported that they spoke only Spanish. Medium acculturation was defined as respondents who spoke both English and Spanish. And high acculturation were respondents who said that they spoke only English. And that, and also the fact that the core of the NHIS has information on leisure time physical activity. And as you can see, if you look at the blue line right here, there's a gradient that increases with acculturation in leisure time physical activity. So one of the things that NCI researchers were curious about was, what about non-leisure time physical activity? Would that have the same gradient? Because a lot of there were actually a lot of socioeconomic measures that are also associated with leisure time physical activity in a similar way. So they put questions on pertaining to these other kinds of daily activities, etc. And if you look at the daily activities line, you'll notice that, in fact, there's an inverse relationship between acculturation and daily physical activity. Diet and nutrition. A major surveillance advance took place that was fielded for the first time in the 2000 NHIS, and that was to reduce the number of questions on the sources of energy intake, or what those of us outside the field would call food. And until 2000, there was a 40-minute food frequency instrument that was fielded on the NHIS. This meant that the sample design had to be split in two, so that every other person got the food frequency questionnaire, and then the other people got something else called a cancer control supplement. And there were a few questions that were on both, but basically this food frequency question was hogging the real estate, as we might say. So in 2000, one of our analysts at NCI used regression analyses to determine which foods were associated with specific key sources of energy, such as fat, fiber, and sweets. And by specifying a few foods for each category, and then working to figure out the different ethnic-specific foods in order to incorporate them into a list, and this has been a long and ongoing process, but anyway, she was able to bring that food frequency questionnaire, or actually questions on food intake, from 40 minutes down to 4. And this is the multi-factor food screener that was included in the NHIS, and you can see that it's much, much shorter than the 40-minute survey that had been fielded beforehand. Some other advances that took place in 2000 was to narrow the focus of questions from knowledge, attitudes, and practices to just behavior or practices, because we found that people didn't always know and hadn't always thought about opinions, or, you know, and so those questions weren't as useful, and that we would try to find out about things that people actually did and should know about. We updated the questions on colorectal cancer screening because quite a few modifications had occurred in that field in the decade preceding. We added questions on prostate-specific antigen, which had come out, and it was becoming clear to us that quite a few men were using this and doctors were prescribing it, but we had no source of information on it. We condensed the nutrition section, as I already mentioned, and we added first-degree family history of cancer questions. So these are examples of the kind of thing that Jane was talking about, where the NHIS is very responsive to the needs of the nation in terms of policies and scientific advances and modifications to keep up. And, of course, the results, we condensed the supplement from 40 minutes to 20. That was another thing which, at that point, we were moving towards CAPI, and there was a requirement that we needed to shorten the instrument, the administration of the instrument. And we also traded that split sample design for a full sample, and that gave us more robust estimates, especially for smaller populations. And as a person who works in health disparities, I was especially keen to see that. So this graph shows how the NHIS has captured trends over time in cancer screening for PAP testing, cervical cancer screening, mammography for breast cancer screening, and colorectal cancer screening for both women, and men. And it also, starting in 2000, though it's not shown on this graph, collected data for PSA as well. Now, one thing that was covered quite a lot in the press was that the 2005 NHIS data showed, you can see how there's been an increase in mammography rates, and we had tracked that for years. We were lucky to put that question on the survey early enough to be able to really see the rise in the diffusion curve, as they say in the public health literature. But in 2005, we saw a slight decline in mammography rates. And that led to a lot of press coverage and also a meeting with women senators who were concerned about that decline because of this data. And it really emphasized, I think, to all of us, the importance of a timely, accurate monitoring system and how important it is to have this in our country. In addition to trends, you can also see patterns with these data, and this is a table that shows some of the disparities, in fact, the leading disparities that for the four cancer screening modalities that I just showed you. And you can see the difference just to look at mammography, for example, whereas in 2000, 70% of all women 40 and older were getting mammograms. Women without health insurance, only 38% of them were getting a mammogram, and only 35% if they didn't have the usual source of care. Recent immigrants were also low screeners, getting only 39% of them got a mammogram. So in response to findings that less extensive health care coverage and greater out-of-pocket payments were associated with lower preventive services, staff from NCI and NCHS collaborated on questions to obtain some of that detailed health insurance coverage information that Amy is so grateful for, and we are too. And this is the very first paper that was published using those 1992 data, the first year that they were available. And you can see that the analysis was done by age group under 65 and 65 and older in order to take account of the Medicare versus the private insurance group. And, of course, the private insurance or the under 65 are much more likely to be uninsured. So we had actually anticipated that the gradients would be larger in the under 65 group, and there is a gradient for mammography. There isn't really one for PAP or for FOBT, probably because PAP is so widely used and FOBT is so underused. But you can really see these gradients in the Medicare population. So that was kind of a revelation, both the importance of insurance and also the importance of other things besides insurance. So as I mentioned, when the 2005 data on mammography came out, it made a lot of press, and one of the questions some of the journalists had, especially from states, was, well, what about my state? What does the National Health Interview Survey tell me about my state? And unfortunately, I had to say that it really doesn't, because it's a survey designed to capture the nation. And I was interested to hear what Amy said about it, because she actually has mentioned some ways that we can get subnational data, which would be quite useful. But I would say that in the long run, what we need is national data that is based on local data, and that the local data, local level data, would better inform healthcare delivery and interventions. And we've seen this in the California Health Interview Survey, which is actually based on the National Health Interview Survey and designed to be comparable to it. Unlike the NHIS, which I think is the only remaining in-person at-home survey, the CHIST is a telephone survey. But the advantage of that is that it can be administered in five languages. CHIST data has had a huge impact in the state of California, partly because it's extremely well disseminated, but also because it is local data, and that touches both the people living there and also their representatives. So our plans at NCI are we're including human papillomavirus knowledge and vaccine acceptability questions on the 2008 NHIS. And then in 2010, we'll have another cancer control supplement. And right now, we're testing a racial ethnic self-reported discrimination module on the California Health Interview Survey, which we hope to field on the NHIS in 2010. So these are plans, and but look for at least the 2008 HPV data, because that's a definite. So I would like to, as everyone is, wish the NHIS a happy birthday, and I just want to reiterate that the best birthday gift would be full funding for that gorgeous sample that Jane talked about earlier. So thank you very much.